So hello everyone. Again, my name is Carl Mingus and I'm with the Center for Outcomes Research and Evaluation at Yale. And today I'm going to be talking to you about national and regional trends in deep vein thrombosis hospitalization rates, discharge disposition, and outcomes for Medicare beneficiaries from 1999 to 2010. I have no disclosures. This work was supported by the NHLVI Center for Cardiovascular Outcomes Research at Yale University, and that's the grant identification. So for those of you who don't know, a deep vein thrombosis, or DVT, occurs when a blood clot forms in one of the major veins of your body, and this is usually a deep vein in the leg, and it can cause pain and swelling, and it may occur with or without symptoms, and it can generally develop if you have immobility, such as like after surgery or a sedentary lifestyle, or following an accident, or in the older population, if you're confined to a hospital or in a nursing home bed. So DVT is one of the most common conditions among older adults, and in the general population, some have estimated that there are up to 2 million hospitalizations per year because of DVT. Older adults are particularly at risk for developing DVT complications, and one like very serious complication is pulmonary embolism, and that's when a clot breaks loose and can travel into the arteries of your lungs and can cause death. Other complications include post-thrombotic syndrome, acute myocardial infarction, and stroke. There's been several recent medical advancements in DVT, including secondary prevention and prophylaxis treatment that enables one to be treated at home. And partially due to these reasons, the APHA has actually cited DVT as one of the most preventable causes of death. And the Surgeon General actually issued a call to action to prevent DVT and pulmonary embolism or venous thromboembolism. However, currently we are lacking some information about national hospitalization rates. We're also lacking information on disparities in terms of differences over age, sex, or race. And we're also lacking information on short and long-term outcomes. So in order to address these, we sought to identify the national hospitalization rates of DVT overall and by subgroups, including age, sex, race, and state. And then we also sought to characterize trends in patient outcomes, including 30-day, 6-month, and 1-year mortality rates, 30-day readmission, length of stay, and discharge disposition. And this is following hospital stay. And so overall, we're just interested in looking at the rates of hospitalizations and what's going on afterwards. So on to our methods. In terms of our sample, in order to identify DVT trends among older adults, we used the Medicare standard analytic files, and this was used in 100% of Medicare fee-for-service beneficiaries. So most people receive, most people receive the 5% files. So this is an unusual sample in that we have the entire population. So our study period ranged from 1999 to 2010, which gave us a 12-year period of observation. And then eligibility for an enrollment in Medicare was determined through the Medicare denominator file. So to identify DVT patients, we used primary ICD-9 codes, and these indicate the principal discharge diagnosis or the reason in retrospect for which the patient was admitted to the hospital. And consistent with other studies, we used these primary ICD-9 codes, discharge diagnosis codes to identify our cohort. And the sensitivity and specificity is actually quite high at 92 to 96% positive predictive value. And this is amongst the highest for the administrative codes. So we think we're capturing our sample pretty accurately. So for hospitalization, we calculated a population rate, which consisted of the total number of DVT hospitalizations in a year as the numerator. And then this was divided by the entire corresponding Medicare population in that year. The Medicare population was expressed as a person years in a given year, so some fee-for-service beneficiaries were in the program for less than 12 months. In terms of mortality rates, we selected the discharge date as time zero, or the starting time to begin counting, those patients who died at 30 days, 6 months, or 1 year. And the length of stay was determined and readmission rates were determined from the vital status files. So on to our results. We compared patient demographics as illustrated in the tail end years here, 1999 to 2000 and 2009 to 2010. And as you'll notice, the number of patients with a principal discharge diagnosis of DVT remained relatively stable over time. And as you can see, age was relatively stable, while the percentage of women and whites slightly decreased. And similar trends were also noted when observing the entire study period. So overall, there were about 726,000 patients with DVT in Medicare fee-for-service from 1999 to 2010. So this table here displays the 1999 to 2000 and 2009 to 2010 unadjusted trends of the 7 of the 21 comorbidities that we examined. So most comorbidities varied only slightly over the study period. Congestive heart failure and prior MI remained stable, whereas cancer and stroke decreased. And diabetes, hypertension, and renal failure increased in our population. So on to our hospitalization rates. These were the trends in hospitalization rate overall and noted per 100,000 person years. That's on the y-axis and on the x-axis of the years. So as you can see, the population, the hospitalization rate rather, decreased from 264,000 per 100,000 person years to 167. This was a relative decline from 1999 compared to 2010 of 36%. These are the trends in hospitalization rate by age. Again, they followed a similar pattern. The top is those age 85 years or older. The middle line is 75 to 84, and the bottom line is 65 to 74. And as you can see, those in 65 to 74 decreased the greatest relative rate of 52%. So again, these are adjusted by sex and race. And the trends adjusted by age and race followed a similar pattern, such that females were hospitalized at a higher rate, but this declined in recent years in terms of almost meeting the male rate. And now, despite these differences, this was a really interesting finding, in such that black race has actually increased amongst the Medicare fee-for-service population. So these disparities were not evident for all cohorts. Blacks increased relative from 1999 to 2010 at 20.8%. And compared to whites, in 1999, blacks were 8.4% higher hospitalization rate, and then in 2010, they were 28.1% higher. So this disparity has only increased over time. Meanwhile, whites have declined in their hospitalization rate at 42%. These are some of the hospitalization rates by state. In terms of relative change, the green indicating a good outcome. Those who have improved over 50% compared from 1999 compared to 2010 include these states. And amongst them, Vermont had the highest relative decline of 71%, and they also had the lowest hospitalization rate in 2010, our latest year of observation, of 63 per 100,000 person years. The top table indicates those states, Delaware, Louisiana, and Michigan, that had a relative change less than negative 10%, so it was still a good outcome, but not quite as good as those in the previous green states. And then in terms of states that's actually changed over time or had no change include Florida or Hawaii, and those are the only states that actually either increased or remained stable over time in terms of hospitalization rate. This indicates our length of hospital stay, and like many conditions, it's decreased over time. So compared from 1999 to 2010, it's negative 18%. So right here is the discharge disposition. The top line indicates those who were discharged from the hospital directly to the home setting. The middle line includes those who were discharged to a skilled nursing facility, and the bottom line indicates those who were discharged to home with home care, such as a visiting nurse. And as you can see, those who are discharged from home has decreased over time to by 23%. So onto some of our outcomes. These are the risk-adjusted mortality outcomes. The top line indicates one-year mortality rates. The middle line is six-month mortality, and the bottom line is 30-day mortality rates. And as you can see, they all remained relatively stable over time, but still one-year mortality rate remained very high at over 20%. This is the risk-adjusted 30-day readmission outcome. So again, these outcomes are adjusted by age, sex, race, and 21 comorbidities. And here, the readmission rate has remained relatively stable until 2004, when it slightly decreased in 2007. And then finally, we're seeing somewhat of a decrease. But still, relative to 1999, in 2010, there was a 13% increase in the risk-adjusted readmission rate. So all rates were the same for age and sex, but by race, there were some differences. As you can see, blacks remain to have a higher readmission rate, but that disparity has diminished in recent years. The bottom top line being blacks and the bottom line being whites. So, of course, our study has some limitations. First, we excluded Medicare Advantage and those who were less than 65 years of age, so we can't comment on those trends in those groups. And obviously, using an administrative database, codes may have been upcoded or downcoded over time because we've relied on ICD-9s. We also lacked clinical information on presentation, but the codes that we did use had a very high sensitivity and specificity, so we feel like we're capturing our population pretty well. In terms of our conclusions, this is the largest study to date to examine trends in DVT. Our main findings, to recap, included hospitalizations decreased overall. There was a noticeable disparity such that black patients had a substantial increase in hospitalizations. There was substantial variation in hospitalizations by state, and only one state actually increased over time. 30-day, 6-month, and 1-year mortality rates remained stable, and there were no noticeable differences by subgroups by age, sex, or race. The readmission rate increased modestly over time, and it increased in recent years as well. And that the majority of patients were still discharged to home, although an increasing number were discharged to home care with such services as visiting nurse or discharged to skilled nursing facilities. So in terms of some future research opportunities, we hope to further characterize the DVT trends and examine them according to cost, as well as looking at the most recent years of Medicare data, including 2011 and 2012, to see if they're changing. And then, given the racial disparity in terms of the substantially higher readmission rate among blacks, further observational research could be conducted to examine the source of this variation. And then targeted community-based interventions may also be conducted to reduce the incidence of hospitalizations among blacks. So, of course, administrative data do not identify the reasons for these trends, but here are some very, very speculative considerations of what could be potentially driving these trends. In terms of the decreases in hospitalizations, they might signal changes in clinical practice patterns that favor outpatient rather than inpatient treatment of DVT, including full outpatient management or early discharge with transitioning care to the outpatient setting. Another possibility is the recommendation for home treatment of DVT patients, either with or without home services, and this depends on the patient's severity. The healthcare system may more efficiently be triaging patients to an outpatient or observation stay. And then primary prevention could have a role, such as health promotion education, in terms of knowing the signs and symptoms of DVT, wearing compression garments, things like that, or secondary prevention efforts in terms of prescription of anticoagulation therapy or aspirin or enhanced screening of DVT are also possible explanations for the decreases in hospitalizations that we observed. As I noted, for all age, sex, and race, with the exception of blacks, hospitalizations declined, but for blacks, the hospitalization rate increased. So some possible explanations for this include a higher prevalence of comorbidities for blacks compared to white patients. And this could be also due to a hypercoagulable state, biological and genotype differences, or factors related to limited access to quality medical care, including poor discharge planning, lack of health insurance coverage, or underinsured, or a higher propensity to admit. In terms of stable mortality outcomes, I'd like to remind you that DVT is rarely fatal by itself. So sometimes anticoagulation complications or comorbidities like PE could be fatal, but it's possible that most of this patient population died of their comorbidities, and DVT was more of a marker of risk. In terms of increasing readmission rates, complications at home, such as bleeding and event recurrence, which may be due to early discharge, as supported by our data, showing a lower length of stay in recent years and a higher proportion of patients discharged to home without home care. There also could have been mistriages. So I'd like to thank my colleagues for helping put this work together, Vainud Bigdelli, Nguyen Wong, and Harlan Krumholtz. And I'd like to thank you for your time and attention. Happy to take any questions. Yes. I'm sorry. Right. Yeah. So it increased from 9% to 13% over the course of the study period, which mirrors our racial differences over time. And so that's 100% of Medicare population. So anyone who's utilizing Medicare, that's actually a very accurate number in the sense that these are patients who had ICD-9 code. The codes that I showed you that were related to DVT. Right. So race is interesting because it's actually self-reported in Medicare files, which would be a limitation, right? But and we don't know if people self-report mixed race differently than they do. Like black versus white. So the other category is also confusing. But unfortunately, we can't dig down any deeper in that. It's the administrative code, so that's what we're limited to. The risk factors for... Oh, for men? It's the same as women. I mean, I don't think that there's probably much of a difference. I can't explain that finding. I'd be interested in your thoughts. Still the risk factors are related to lifestyle and clinical factors. So I'm not quite sure about that, but maybe that's a great idea for a future investigation. Yeah. Yes. It's a really loud fan, yes. Right. Right. We do have cost data, but I haven't dug into it yet. So that's definitely going to be in the manuscript. But that would be very interesting. And it's also adjusted for time, which is valuable. Like any other condition, I think costs have been increasing. Maybe in recent years with the Affordable Care Act, it's decreased a little bit, but with Medicare data, you're limited to the past, as recently as 2 years ago because of their processing. So the latest we'll get is 2012. But thanks. Yes? Uh-huh. Yeah, that would be very interesting to correlate changes in state with demographics. We have not done that. Again, sort of preliminary at this point. All that we saw was that there was tremendous variation, and as you in the states, it was more the Pacific Northwest and sort of the Central Northwest that had really low hospitalization rates, with the exception of Vermont. So we haven't done that, but that's a good idea. Thank you so much.